From the DMZ to the NATO front, this is CRN.
Welcome to the Lightning Round.
Welcome.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Dave Kirshner Lightning Round podcast. I am your host. We are in episode 166. We are finishing week 165 of the illegitimate, fraudulently elected ding-dong's tyrannical reign. And we have 233 days until the next presidential election. Gold is currently trading at $2,157.44. And silver has made the jump. It's up $3 in the last 2 weeks. We're now at $25.21. People are getting nervous out there, folks. And I bet you I can put my finger on why. Let's get into it. All right. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is the why. There are so many whys, I can't even begin to tell you where to start. Let's start here. I've posited this theory before, comparing the previous worst president we ever had in Jimmy Carter to the current worst president we've ever had in the human Roomba. So somebody, and I actually was thinking about this, and then lo and behold, I find an article about it where they've actually drawn parallels between the Carter-Reagan election and the Biden-Trump election as to where Carter and Biden are at the same point in time in the election cycle. And it's not pretty. Oh, it's so... It is not pretty. The reason why it's not pretty is to kind of give you some kind of understanding, is at this point in the election cycle in 1980, in the Gallup head-to-head poll, Carter was up 58% to Reagan's 33%. But the gap would narrow in the ensuing months, and Reagan ultimately defeated Carter in a 44-state landslide with 50.8% of the popular vote to Carter's 41%. The reporter said, "There is no comparable Gallup survey for Biden and Trump in 2024, but other recent polls show a much closer race than what we saw in Carter and Reagan." But that's not the whole story, because Carter was dealing with the Iran-Contra, not the Iran-Contra, but the Iranian hostages. On November 4th, the Iran hostage crisis began, and they basically told Carter and the American people, "We're not letting them go unless Carter's gone." And the people got so sick and tired of it. Plus, there were long lines for gas. Inflation was crazy. Huh, I wonder what that... I don't know if I have ever experienced anything like that in my lifetime. Huh, maybe the current day. I went and got gas in my truck because I don't like to keep it with anything less than half a tank. So I went and topped it off. And, you know, it's a Chevy Silverado, so it doesn't have a tiny gas tank. But it was still $3.50 a gallon. Can you imagine if you adjust for inflation and go back in time, what is $3.50 a gallon today look like in 1980? It's like $7-$8 a gallon. That's what we're talking about here. I'm not a math major. I could be way off, but that's what it feels like. All right? So you have all of that. You have the inflation. I wonder what happened. How did we get the inflation? Blah, 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 blah. And then you get into articles like this where you want to know how bad things are and how horrible the human Roomba has made things for people. Home foreclosures are soaring nationwide and rising fastest in these five states. So it's an article talking about how the shifting dynamics within the housing market is a result of the uptick, the annual uptick in U.S. foreclosure activity. The number of foreclosure completions fell in 28 states, but in other states, it increased that much more. So you've got huge foreclosure rates in Georgia and New York right now, California, South Carolina. People are hurting to the point that, to the tune of, they're making massive withdrawals from their 401ks under a hardship withdrawal. People are suffering under the despotic rule of this idiot, this fraudulently elected ding-dong that they installed into the White House because they had to get rid of the one guy who was taking apart their world. I'm telling you, people are hurt. Credit card debt is through the roof. It's in trillions of dollars nowadays because people are using that. They're looking to get cash advances. They're looking to get a bump in their increase to their credit line. It is ridiculous. The unemployment numbers are a blatant lie. The federal government is covering up the fact that the jobs that, they're touting that, you know, we created 250,000 new jobs in this month or this quarter or whatever. Whatever lie they're peddling, just know it's not true. Because most of the jobs that they say people, oh my God, we had 250, 280, 300,000 jobs. Blah, blah. They're part-time, low-wage jobs. And most of the time, it's the same person taking two of them or three of them. It's all a lie. That doesn't account. The unemployment numbers never account for the people that literally just quit looking and dropped off anybody's employment rolls or unemployment rolls because they just stopped. Their benefits ran out. They can't collect unemployment compensation, so they just said, I quit. Now people are losing their homes. They're losing their cars. They're racking up credit card debt. They're making hardship withdrawals from their 401k. This kind of stuff is the same kind of stuff that was going on in the 1980s. Now, there are some things that aren't necessarily comparable because credit cards really weren't a big thing back in the 80s and late 70s. Not a lot of people had them. It was kind of a new thing. And, you know, it was just another way for the banks to keep you indebted to them. I avoid them at all costs. I don't want anything to do with them because prime plus one, next thing you know, or you've got, it's a rewards program, so I get cash back. No, you don't. You're not, because you're still paying 17 to 22% on the non-qualifying purchases. They're giving you something that makes you feel good under the PR campaign of cash back. Oh, you're earning rewards miles and, you know, airline miles, and so you're not getting anything because they're gouging you on the interest rate. Do not be fooled, is my point. Carter, Biden, two of the exact same candidates, and they're both in the Democratic Party. People are hurting. This idiot that they installed is to blame. His policies are to blame. His reckless antics are to blame. Oh, and get this. A psychiatrist who watched the State of the Union actually wrote an article in the Washington Times, I think, and they basically said that, yeah, the Washington Times, a psychiatrist who deals with elderly patients, Alzheimer's patients, wrote an article in the Washington Times, and the article is titled, "Psychiatrist Sees Signs Biden Was Medicated for the State of the Union Address." And as I read through the article, they pointed out, they said, look, when you take somebody who has cognitive decline, like Joe Biden, and it was plain as day, written out in sentence paragraph structure in the special investigator, special counsel's report, Robert Herr, he said, look, he's got cognitive decline. And then you take that with his performance at the State of the Union, and you have somebody who deals with cognitive decline in elderly patients, and the psychiatrist said they drugged him, because when you give something like Adderall to somebody with cognitive decline, what you get is anger. And that is what the potato's speech was. And his previous one, where he was donned all in red like he was the emperor in Star Wars or something. You know, you get the angry speeches. It's because they drugged him. They pumped him full of Adderall so that he wouldn't have all of the gaffes and the fumbles with his words. One of the side effects of that is the coughing. They literally drugged the president, and I'm flashing air quotes for those of you that aren't watching the show. They drugged him so he could give that speech. Otherwise, it would have been a gaffe fest. Just nonstop idiocy, tripping over every word on the teleprompter. He is the cause. For 3 years, he is the cause of all of it. The people that are handling this idiot, which I believe Valerie Jarrett, Barry Obama, the DNC deep state, all of the crap that we've seen for 3+ years is a direct result of them installing this idiot and their loathing and their hatred of Trump. People are taking hardship withdrawals from their 401k. People are losing homes, losing cars. They can't afford groceries. They can't find a job that's going to pay them anything. So they drop off of the employment and unemployment scrolls. Everything that we're seeing is because of this idiot. Home foreclosures are up. Credit card debt is up. 401k withdrawals are up. Everything is up. And not in a good way. Interest rates are up. Inflation rates are up. Illegal immigrant migration numbers are up. All of the things that you don't want to go up are going up. It's a total train wreck out there. And I'm not I'm not encouraged. I'm not going to try and sugarcoat anything. I don't think that there's a silver lining to any of this. Even if Trump gets elected, it's going to still hurt for at least a year or more when Trump gets elected. It is. He's not a panacea. He's not going to fix this thing the night after the election. He's not going to fix this thing on the day of the inauguration. He's got a big, fat mess to clean up because of this idiot who they won't charge because of cognitive decline. And then you got to have the special counsel go up there and testify and have Democrat lackeys twist his words and try to parse his words to say, well, actually, what you did was you exonerated him. And he shot right back. He said, no, I didn't. I said that we couldn't get a conviction in a jury with a jury in a court of law because of his cognitive decline. They're going to look at him as a sympathetic old grandpa. Nobody's going to get a conviction against this guy. So I didn't charge him because he doesn't have the mental acuity to stand trial. Which begs the question, why are they not removing him from office? If you can't charge him because of cognitive decline, then you have to remove him. But they're not going to do either one. So now we're stuck with this idiot for another 233 days until the next election. And what? at some point, they're going to have to replace him on the ticket. I just wish I could fast forward to find out who it's going to be. Are they going to remove him from the ticket and have Kamala lead the show? Who does Kamala name for the VP slot? It's not going to be Kennedy. You want to see the most disastrous ticket known to man in the history of the United States? Put Newsom on the ticket as VP. You want to see people run as fast as they can, as far away as they can from the Democratic Party? You put Knee Pads Kamala up for president with the communist Gavin Newsom. Wow. If Reagan got 44 states, Trump would get 48, 49. There's no way. No way whatsoever that that's the ticket that they go with. You can't put Hillary on the same ticket with her. No. That failed in 2016. That's not going to get any better. They're never going to put Kennedy up. Big Mike says he's not going to do it. So who do you put on the ticket with Cackle and Comrade if they actually do pull the cognitive decline POTUS up there? It's a total mess. You can't even get your mind. You can't have a clear mind when you talk about this idiot because he's done so much wrong, everything wrong for 3 years. If you're not angry about this, I don't think you're paying attention. Interest rates, inflation, energy prices, credit card debt, foreclosures, insurance. Oh, all right. I think I've beaten this horse. Let's move on to insurance, shall we? So here's something fun. And I'm going to play this and capture the audio because I can't download it. This is something fun. So listen to this. This is about your health insurance. You ready? Here we go.
Life insurance trends. What you're going to find is if you were vaccinated, you can get preferred, not super preferred coverage. If you were vaccinated and double boosted, you may be able to get standard coverage. You will not get preferred. If you're vaccinated and triple boosted, you won't be able to get standard coverage. You'll be table rated. If you're quadruple boosted, you will not be able to get life insurance.
Well, looky there. The people that gave into the fear, and I'm one of them. Well, I gave into my wife who gave into the fear. So I got vaccinated and I got one booster. I'm not getting the health insurance coverage that I want. I'm not getting a gold-plated anything. I'm not getting silver or nickel-plated or anything plated. I'm getting run-of-the-mill health insurance because I basically got poisoned. The health insurance industry knows what's up. And they're behaving in, I don't want to say an appropriate manner, but they are responding accordingly based off of your vaccination status. Basically, they've got a bean counter somewhere and they're looking at all of the variables to your future health concerns. And they're not just looking at, you know, unless you did a blood draw and did like genetic markers, they're not looking at your predisposition for cancer. They're looking exclusively and they're tailoring their products and limiting their products based off of how many vaccinations and boosters you got. If you didn't get any, congratulations. Well done. I aspire to be you in a future pandemic, but I can't. In this pandemic, I got screwed. And whatever health insurance that I wanted, it's not attainable to me. That's what this guy's saying. If you got the boosters, forget it. If you are dyed in the wool, science, what's the word? I want to be something derogatory. If you're dyed in the wool and, you know, believe the science instead of asking questions, which is actually what science is about. If you just swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, you screwed yourself. But that's not all of it. There's more to it, too. Let's talk about the reason that I even brought it up, because of the health insurance thing, because of the vaccines, the boosters. This is material that you introduce to your body, into your bloodstream. Here's what they have to say about the Red Cross and what they're doing for people that have received the vaccination.
So I saw this thing from the American Red Cross. So people were noticing that when you go to try to give blood, they are asking this very important question. And the question is, have you ever had a coronavirus COVID-19 vaccine? And then it says down here at the bottom, if your answer is yes to this question, please call their 800 number before coming in to donate to determine if this will affect your eligibility. Why would they all of a sudden, why would there be some wiggle room around your eligibility if you've been vaccinated or not to donate blood?
Well, you know the answer to that.
I mean, I can speculate. I can deduce. But I'm just putting it out there for others who are so adamant to, you know, believe the narrative.
So why would the American Red Cross want to know that information? Well, it's like the late 80s, you know, you had to have your blood tested for AIDS because a lot of people were getting blood transfusions during routine surgeries for simple things. And they were coming out, finding out that they're testing positive for AIDS. Well, just like AIDS is an incurable, deadly disease, people that have the spike proteins and the COVID-19 vaccines in their blood system, people are rightly saying, I don't want that blood being introduced into my system. I've never had a vaccine. I've never had COVID or some facsimile thereof or some combination thereof. I don't want the vaccine being introduced into my body via a blood transfusion. Because a lot of evidence is now showing that people that had the vaccines are suddenly having all kinds of crazy health problems, like, I don't know, heart-related issues that might make them keel over dead. And they don't want it in their system. They don't want it in their bloodstream. They don't want it at all. So the American Red Cross is looking at all of the data and making decisions based off of the data, actual frickin' science. And they started asking questions. They started looking at Moderna and Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, looking at the ingredients, looking at the test data, the number of people that contracted disease X, heart-related X. And so now they're going out there and they're seeing and saying, based off of the data, we're not going to accept blood donations from anybody that had, Y number of vaccines or boosters or shots in general. And it's the craziest thing because it makes you want to say words like pure blood, and like it's a Harry Potter movie or a Nazi running around. They want pure blood, Aryan blood, you know, not Aryan. They're not saying Aryan, but that's the path and the road that they're leading us down. It's akin to getting a blood transfusion in the 80s with the AIDS epidemic. People do not want these vaccines in their bloodstream, in their bodies whatsoever, because they don't want the heart-related issues that come along with it. They don't want to keel over dead for something that they adamantly didn't want and actively avoided. That's what I got to say about that. And lastly, I got one here, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it is specifically stated somewhere, perhaps in the charter of the CIA, that they are not allowed to work on domestic soil. And yet, I get an article, comes through my email, titled, Judicial Watch. Record shows CIA deployed bomb techs and dog teams to D.C. on January 6th. It's a pretty lengthy article. It kind of runs you through the process of what Judicial Watch had to do and their FOIA requests, and they had to go to court, and they finally got a bunch of information from the ATF, And they got a bunch of text message strings going back and forth on January 6th and 7th. And it's kind of like a real-time text string of what was going on. And, of course, all of the various officers' names have been redacted. And they talk about the bombs that they found at the DNC and the RNC and the shooting of Babbitt and, you know, all of this stuff. And I'm going through here and I'm thinking to myself, at what point did the charter for the CIA change that allowed them to work on domestic soil? They're not supposed to be doing that, let alone at our Capitol with January 6th. There are plenty of other teams available in this country that could have provided the services that the CIA was providing on January 6th. And it really irks me that our intelligence agencies have been warped to the point where they've got criminal informants and undercover agents in the crowd, inciting the crowd, daring them to break into the Capitol, encouraging them to go do crazy things inside the Capitol. Our intelligence agent, you know what I would love? I would love this, and I don't know if it's even legally possible, but they're federal employees, so I think you can. Basically, you deactivate everybody's access. I'm talking about their computer access, their mainframe access, system access, their ID card level access to the FBI headquarters, the CIA, and then you run them through a bunch of lie detectors. Just run them through. You're not getting any access privileges restored until you can pass a polygraph. And I'm not talking one. I'm talking multiple. I think that the American people deserve that at a minimum. To see the FBI running around doing what they did on January 6th with all of their undercover officers and their criminal informants. And now the CIA is being involved in all of this. And I'm thinking to myself, maybe if they had just followed Trump's request for an extra 10,000 soldiers in D.C. during that rally, none of this would have happened. But they denied that request because they needed to spring the trap that was the capture and spotlight being shown on the MAGA supporters, because they needed to be able to label them as domestic terrorists. They needed to be able to have the January 6th committee where, come to find out, they buried all of the exonerating evidence against Trump because they hid the fact that he requested 10,000 soldiers. They hid the fact that his driver directly refuted the January 6th committee's claims that Trump tried to commandeer the limo. The January 6th committee was just the, to put it into my IT terms, right? So it's an unknown thing, but most insurance companies, big ones and large banks, they still run on all of their old mainframes. I can walk into the basement. You see the mainframe running. But because we have this new technology, what they've done is they put a GUI, a graphical user interface, GUI. They put a GUI, a website, okay, all the pretty color schemes, and I can click in this field, and I can pre-fill, and I can type in this one. This is a drop-down one. All of these fields on the back end are coded to stick all of that data into the mainframe, into the existing table structure, into the existing database structure, okay? The January 6th committee was akin to that relationship. The January 6th committee was the gooey face of the deep state swamp cabal. They needed people to be out in front, somebody that could sit in front of the camera, somebody that people that could be quote-unquote reputable. So Pelosi cherry picks the people that hate Trump the most, Liz Cheney being one of them, to say that, oh, well, look, it's bipartisan. We've got Republicans. No, you don't. You have an entire team of Democrats and a couple people that are running as Republicans but are actually Democrats, like a Liz Cheney. They needed that. They needed a face, that the American people needed a face that they could put with this committee, people that they knew. So you got to go into the House of Representatives and you got to say, okay, here are the people, or you got to go into Congress basically and say, okay, these people are people that the American people know. They're my GUI, and I'm going to put them out front for the cameras to see so that all of the inner workings and the machinations behind the scenes can continue to pull levers and push buttons and flip switches. That's what we need, and that's what we got. The thing is, they weren't planning on losing that many seats in the 2022 midterms. So what did they do right before Republicans took over those committees? They destroyed evidence. They buried evidence. Anything that would exonerate Trump and his MAGA supporters was either destroyed or buried. And now we're starting to uncover it. And now the American people are starting to realize that the January 6th committee was a facade. We've had the FBI out there conducting like they're standing in front of an orchestra. They're out there like the frickin' maestro. Tap, 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 tap. Everybody up at the ready. Okay. Break into the Capitol. Steal a bunch of stuff. Go to the Speaker of the House's chambers. Go into the Senate chamber. Go here. Go there. They're out there conducting all of these people that, if you watch the video, they're not doing anything. They literally have their cell phones out. They're taking pictures. They're taking video. Until the FBI agents show up and they're like, hey, come on, let's go break into this. And unfortunately, the people that were there were dumb enough to follow along. Here's the only thing that I took away from January 6th and the January 6th committee. Number one, if I'm going to go to any type of political rally where I think somebody's being set up and I still want to go, get in a rental car. I'm going to stay at a hotel at least an hour to an hour and a half away at the furthest metro stop or Greyhound line that I can get on. I'm going to stay out there. My car's never going to come into the city. My cell phone is going to stay in my hotel an hour and a half away. I'm going to pay cash for my bus ticket, and I'm going to wear a mask the entire time. That is the only way you are not getting identified by the FBI and now apparently the CIA. That is the only way you're not getting identified. Have no electric signature or digital signature. Do not show your face at any time. Wear a hat, wear sunglasses, and wear I want to call it a baklava, but that's probably not right. It's just a cloth face mask. Not one of those blue ones. I just have like a neck gaiter that I can just pull up. That's the only way you could attend one of those rallies and not have the FBI or the DOJ knocking on your door inside of 3 months. Do not allow the cameras to identify you. Do not carry anything on your person that would allow them to identify you. Not a driver's license, not a concealed carry permit. I would actually leave your check card because it's got a microchip in it. I would not doubt that they could scan somebody, get that RFID chip off of your check card and be able to identify you that way. I would leave every single thing that has a digital signature back at your hotel an hour and a half away. Pay cash the entire trip and leave no signature whatsoever. That's the only way you can attend a rally these days. Because of stuff like this. The CIA getting involved. The FBI. You had the Speaker of the House in Botox Pelosi. She set the trap. Trump walked into it. Even though Trump specifically tried to find off-ramps and said, give me 10,000 troops to secure the Capitol for this rally to make sure that nothing happens. Denied. DC Metro Police, denied. It was a setup from the word go. And now we find out that the CIA is involved. And I want to know who gave them the authorization to work on American soil. Because last time I checked, they were specifically prohibited from doing so. That's it for me. That's my show. It's my rant. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back midweek in the Kirshner Files. I did a bunch of research, and we're going to talk about electroculture gardening. Found out some more information on that. I went out and bought pieces parts so I could do it this year. I did a bunch of other research on food security, not just, you know, your ability to go out and find something like Buckeye Valley Beef Cooperative. You can also go out and find poultry producers and pork as well. So we're going to talk about those things and go from there. All right. That's it for me. Be good. Stay safe. Keep your head on a swivel. I'm out.
Happy Hunger Games, and may the odds be ever in your favor.